still. Rather think alone than ask for help. It's only if I need it.
Brent Kirby and his luck with Days Go By here on Neo Rocks. Brent, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Say, it's good to have you in. We were talking earlier. It's been a long time since we've actually had you in studio with us.
Years. Probably. I'm not trying to avoid you guys. It's just it's usually a daughter night for me. So.
Well, that and you're one of the busiest men in Cleveland.
Something like that. Yeah.
Right, one of them. How many shows a week do you play?
It really just depends, you know, anywhere between 4 and 6 or 7, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, it just depends.
So, well, you've been really busy since the first of the year.
Since the first of the year, yeah, we did the Jack Ford's record, and I got that all done and whipped into shape after a couple years of that, just sitting out there and floating. And that felt good to do, and I think it's a good record. And then... And then this one we recorded in January, and I've been working on it the whole time, you know, doing overdubs and mixing and mastering and all those things. And now it's the, you know, it was the artwork and then the merchandise and all that stuff. There's a sequence to things, I think. Takes a lot of time, though.
Well, you've got a big show coming up this Saturday, 9:30. It says AM on the calendar. We're going to change that. But yeah,
we're trying a new thing. We're going to get everyone up in the morning. See, I'm fully about this 9 to 5 musician thing. I think it's going to be great. I do.
So, Music Box Supper Club, 9:30 in the morning. Oh yeah, get your livers ready. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
No, but of course, 9:30 p.m.
Imagine how you'll be by noon. It'll be great. And you'll still got a whole day.
And jokes on them, because then you're probably going to play another show at night, right?
Right. Exactly.
Forget it.
Double dipping. Now, at 9:30 p.m. at the Music Box on Saturday, May 16th is when we're doing Kiss Me Deadly, who just played before me, their song. They're going to open up, have an acoustic set, and we're going to bring out a big band for it. So we got backup singers and horns, and just trying to make it a real big show.
Talking about your band, I caught you one night. We were talking a little bit about it, and you got so excited about it, about the band. And who all do you have in the band?
In the band, the band's great. So, yeah, I have very good reason to be excited about it. Everyone's really talented. Chris Hanna Elmer, who I've played with for years and knows more of my tunes than I think anyone else on this earth, probably. And then he's playing keys, B3, and all, and Rhodes piano, which I think he's going to bring out for the show, too, the B3 and the Rhodes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we don't know how we're going to fit all this stuff on the stage. We might put him off on the side. We'll see. And then Ben Nieves plays guitar, and he's played around for a long time in Big Brother and Holding Company. He's just awesome. And Kevin Johnson plays bass, and he's great, just very musical. And they both have these kind of jazz backgrounds, and it just kind of has opened up a lot of different doors. And Travis Payton's playing drums. He's really got an incredible feel, solid, and just, you know, those guys all together just kind of take the tunes to a different level for me.
Now, we were talking off the air about the musicianship and just kind of how your songs have transformed with this new group that you have.
They have, yeah.
Specifically the backbeat and the rhythm of the song, and how it kind of... I don't exactly know how to get into that, but you know, that's
the mechanics of
right,
style.
Right, exactly. I don't want to dumb it down too much, but but it's kind of a cool element, though, isn't it?
It is. It's cool. You know, and the other thing that we've been doing is kind of just, you know, this band, you know, I'd go out and play Jack Ford shows, and I have that Jack Ford's catalog that I've written, but I wouldn't be able to touch any of the solo catalog, and that was a little artistically, you know, frustrating sometimes, you know. And then same thing with the Lost Fortunes, the other band. I had a whole catalog of tunes there, but couldn't necessarily play all the Jack Ford's tunes. So I felt, you know, this band was kind of putting those things together. And so now it's just kind of going through both those catalogs and reinventing the songs and doing new arrangements. And these guys are just awesome. Those, what about this? And just next thing you know, I'm like, okay. Now my butt's moving. Okay.
Will that be happening on Saturday as well?
I'm in. Whatever that is, I want some of that. Yes, it will be happening Saturday. My butt will be moving.
You heard it here first, folks.
I can say butt, right?
Yes, you can.
All right, good.
Why don't we hear something?
Okay. This one, he asked me to cue up a song. This is a song. Ray was hanging out, Ray Flanagan, who just happens to, he's like that guy in that Saturday Night Live skit who just shows up in the background wherever, you know what I mean? He is always there, just happens to be there. And him and Russ, his brother, showed up late night on Saturday in this four-day session. And they stayed overnight. We just learned this song and played it till 2 in the morning till we got it right. And Ray plays guitar on it, and it's one continuous track of Ray, so even the guitar solo and everything, it's great. And everything's live on this, and then he did some backup vocals. We did some overdub backup vocals and vocals on that.
Well, let's hear it right now.
Tell Me Something.
Tell Me Something by Brent Kirby and His Luck on Neo Rocks.
Long way not to stay.
Brent Kirby and His Luck, Tell Me Something, here on Near Rocks, off of his brand new disc, Patience Worth, being released this Saturday at the Music Box Supper Club, 9:30. Opening up is Kiss Me Deadly.
And I corrected it in the so on the website we're set to go 9:30 p.m. this Saturday. But this CD, it is named Patience Worth. Who is Patience Worth?
Patience Worth was a spirit that was contacted through a lady named Elizabeth Curran in the 1920s in St. Louis through an Ouija board, and then this spirit named Patience Worth, who was supposedly from the 1640s England, is what she said, started to basically dictate poetry and prose and stories and books, basically, and they became best-selling books in that day, but were written by a spirit. And it was interesting. I mean, there's books written on the like studying the legitimacy of this and going into Elizabeth Curran's life and saying there's no way she could have known all these things. She wasn't as educated as somebody who would need to be. And so there's a certain part of it that I thought was interesting where does your muse come from and the spirit and the creative spirit and it's inside you and how does that come out and you know, the medium that it comes out in, and that was pretty interesting. And then, you know, just we all go through tough things, and I had went through my tough things and got through it, and that was the patience part, you know.
And how'd you come across that?
I'm sure it was some late night TV show after it came.
Like on WGIZ.
I love those ghost things, man. Those things are great. Except that dude, it gets like really, he's like all, you know, roided out, you know? You know what guy I'm talking about?
I think I do.
And he just wants to, you know, scare the ghosts, you know? Come at me, you know? I don't like that guy.
That guy
sucks. I like the people who treat the ghosts nice, because who wants to make a ghost mad, you know? It doesn't seem like a smart thing to do.
Now, are you a superstitious kind of guy?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll let you take that any way you want. We can stop that here.
I don't, you know. Sure, I'm superstitious.
All right,
you know?
I'm good enough.
I am. A little bit.
So we were talking a little bit about the recording, because I got to talk to Jim Stewart, who you worked with on the disc.
Jim was the engineer. Yeah, he's awesome. He's great.
Well, he was telling me about a little bit of effects that ended up happening in the mix with room mics and your vocals.
Well, because everything was recorded live, if there was a take, you know, there's always extraneous noises on when you're recording live, and it's such a big room, and it was very echoey, and so even just someone walking across the floor, you could hear. And so when we started to do mixing, and there were certain elements that we pulled from other tracks, you know, and other takes, and dropped into the final mix of certain songs and whatever, and so there was these ghostly like footsteps and you know guitar wails and you know talking and laughing, and so it was pretty. It kind of fits the mood of the record, I think, too. You know,
so, and one of those that you said it kind of happened on.
Well, it's Keep It Safe.
It's Keep It Safe.
Keep It Safe. Yeah.
And was that one of the ones that kind of vocal ghosting or
yeah, there's some of that, and there's some of the guitar ghosting in there, and yeah, you can hear it, you know, you can hear there's some talking in there, and it's a pretty organic tune, and I think that it kind of has a good ebb and flow, kind of like you know, it just kind of moves in a very very evolved way, like it just goes from one place to the next, but it's not a constant thing. I mean, there's definitely movement to it. I like the song for that.
So, and the entire recording process that you guys did, you recorded live.
Recorded all, live all in the same room, yeah.
And how long did you guys actually take recording itself?
We did 4 days. We sequestered ourselves for 4 days at Greg Campoletti's house out in Willoughby Hills. And it was great. He had bunks, you know, and it's just, you know, it was really good to just kind of shut out the outside world and kind of be in a natural space and a comfortable space. And, you know, we could play any time of the day or night and just have it all right there. It was really great. The first night that I was there, everyone left, and it was just me. I was like, wow, what am I going to do here? My drums were all tuned up. Dale Flanagan from Fortune Drums came up and tuned up my drums and had, you know, four or five different snare drums there. And so I'm just like, I'm just going to sit and play drums for a bit. And I played, you know, drums for a good hour, and then I picked up the guitar. And I wrote one of the other tracks that night, and we recorded it the next morning, which was a hugely satisfying thing as a songwriter to be able to do, you know.
Wow, very cool.
Very cool. Well, why don't we hear Keep It Safe? Yeah. We've got that up right now on Near Rocks, Brent Kirby and His Luck, Keep It Safe.
Myself a brand new pair of boots. I've been reborn. Found my way back to my roots. Things will change. They won't ever be the same again. Settles down, you find out who we are friends. You keep it safe somewhere they can't touch. Keep it safe if it becomes too much. Keep it safe. Whatever's enough, you got to. I've been trying hard to hold on. Bare wires, current that will get you to the bone. My mind is bent, wrapped up, not much left. Preferred.
Brent Kirby and His Luck with Keep It Safe here on Neo Rocks. Brent is releasing his new disc, Patience Worth, at the Music Box Supper Club this Saturday at 9:30 p.m. And Brent, the first time that I listened through the disc, mm-hmm. I was kind of in awe at how many different musical genres are represented. Because you go back and forth. I mean, I heard R&B, which was completely, I mean, not completely unexpected, but it was a very big surprise.
Yeah, I think the way we approach these songs is we'd finish a song and we'd start the new tune, whatever it was, and we would go through the drums and we would pick whatever drum we wanted for the snare drum. We'd tune the bass drum accordingly and tune the toms, and then we'd pick the cymbals. And then we'd go to the guitars, and we had a whole bunch of guitar amps, and we'd pick the guitar and the pedals and the type of guitar and the sound. And same with the bass, and we'd go through the whole thing and just build it from the ground up. And then we would just play it over and over and over and over again until it felt, you know, like we had exactly what we wanted. So each song kind of – it wasn't like we had, okay, we're done with this song, let's play the next song. It was like, no, we – stopped that mind thought and went to a completely different space. And I think that probably lends itself a little bit to the style, you know, and the difference between those.
So are there any songs that you guys did one way and then decided, you know what, let's try it another way?
I'm sure there probably is. Sure there is. I don't know what.
He's looking at the CD right
yeah,
now.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Days Go By was one. If It Rains... yeah, there's a few on here that kind of just took a life of their own. I really didn't have any preconceived notions of what I wanted the thing sound like before I went in. And I had some idea, but it really wasn't. I was completely open to whatever everyone else was bringing to the table, and you know, we really just sat and discussed it, and everyone was real vocal about it, and it wasn't just me talking; it was everybody talking and communicating about the tune and pointing out things and you know, working on stuff. And I mean, that's what you want, you know. You want people who care enough to you know, say things that are going to make it better, you know. And I'm not perfect by any means, you know, and my idea is not the end all idea of what the song could be, and so having those other guys there really made a big difference.
Well, and that's the advantage, of course, of playing with so many terrific musicians like you had on this album. And you, I was joking with you off the air again that your business card has to be, I don't even know how you fit everything that you do onto one business card. And then we talked about how we both need to order new business cards, yes. Which I'm writing down right now.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, but you've got a lot of projects. So I mean, not only this, but we talk about the 10x3, mm-hmm. as well, every Wednesday at Brothers. Take a second.
Which you host?
I do once in a while. Yes. Yeah. Full disclosure. That's true.
Totally.
But that has been such a success as well for you.
I'm really proud of that, and I'm really proud of what it's become, and I'm really proud of everyone who shows up and plays, and you know, always seems to bring an A game. I always go there. It's my Monday, so I have, you know, the Monday, Tuesday off, and then Wednesday I go to work at night, and then I work through the weekend. And so I go out of there very inspired to do the rest of the week. And I feel lucky that everyone just comes there and plays. And what did you call it?
You call it
speed dating for musicians or something?
The musical equivalent of speed dating. Yeah,
musical equivalent of speed dating, which I never heard before, but that's pretty awesome.
But it's true. I mean, you sit there and all the acts that you have are great. But, you know, everybody has their preference. And if you sit there and you're like, well, I'm not really feeling this act, it's okay. Because in 10 minutes, you've got another one coming up.
It is totally true. I never thought about it like that. That is the beauty of it, though, you know. And you get so many different diverse styles. And just approaches to things, and so many people at different levels. And the great thing is when people come back on a repeated basis, you get to see improvement, and you get to see people evolving into you know, their performing ability becomes better, the way they talk to the crowd, and their songs become better, and their voice becomes better, and their guitar playing is better, and they start to bring other people out, and then there's collaborations, and then it's like, wow, that just happened, you know?
Case in point, Ray Flanagan.
Ray Flanagan. Well, yeah, Ray Flanagan is he's a patron of the 10x3 in such a huge way. You know, he's a fixture.
He started off there, I remember, and he was I think I was there for his first performance.
Yeah.
For the 10x3, and he was nervous as hell. And now he's walking into your studio session.
Whenever Ray shows up, he's usually playing with everybody that goes up. Even people he doesn't know, like the out of town people say, "Who's that?" "Oh, that's right. Okay, we got to come up and play." You know, they just know Ray's got that thing, you know. And he's become a person who can play with anybody. I'll sing the praises of Ray Flanagan all day long.
Now, do you compare? I mean, I go back to the Jack Ford's days at the Town Friar and how that kind of organically kind of came up as well. Is there a similarity there between the 10x3 and the Friar?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, there's a community. Right. I think anytime you have something like that and you have people who rally around it and people show up on a regular basis, and there's songwriters that show up that aren't playing, they're just hanging out. And anytime you have that type of element happening, and you know, the reward is at the end of the night is people, you know. Who have played or musicians are exchanging, you know, business cards and CDs and, you know,
records.
Getting to know each other and networking. And I mean, it's working, you know, that's what it's for. I'm proud of that.
as you should be.
The many hats of Brent Kirby.
Why don't we hear another track off the disc?
Okay. We're putting out a 45, like a 7-inch 45. Of Better Days and Girl I Love, which are going to be the raw tracks. So coming straight out of the studio, that doesn't have a lot of the bells and whistles that came on the later tracks that are on the CD. So the 45 is raw. And Girl I Love, we redid. It's probably like the fourth version of that tune. But it's my favorite thus far.
All right. Let's hear it right now on Neo Rocks.
Table. of mine.
Brent Kirby and His Luck, Girl I Love, here on Nerox. It's gonna be on a 45.
It's gonna be on a 45
coming up.
Yeah, it's a long song. So when we had it done, we actually had to lower the level to make sure that we could fit it on a 45 instead of a 33 and a third. But Clint Holly made that all happen. Thank you, Clint, out there.
So you've got your CD release this weekend.
Yes,
Saturday
mm-hmm.
at the Music Box Supper Club.
Music Box Supper Club.
Opening up for you is
Kiss Me Deadly.
Say, and they're doing acoustic?
Yeah, they're kind of an acoustic set.
Okay.
10x3 stalwarts, you know, they're just, they're great.
Say, so how many musicians have you met through the 10x3?
Over 1,200.
Over 1,200?
Wow. Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah. Imagine how many emails that is, you know?
I don't.
And that's,
I don't.
That's the downside to the 10x3. It's the hardest work for the least amount of money of any gig that I do. But it's very rewarding, so I don't mind at all.
That's what's funny. Whenever you message me about something, whether it's a radio show, the 10x3, whatever format, whatever medium you choose to contact me on, whether it's texting or whether it's through email, I make sure that I respond through that medium, because I know that you've got 100 different messages going at once, and if you text me, I don't want to email you about that same subject. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So
know.
I assume it gets pretty complicated there.
It does. It does. Well, the 10x3, people submit. You know, there's Facebook messages, Facebook posts, texts, phone calls.
Yep.
You know, email, 3 different email addresses. I funnel everything. the10x3@gmail.com for everyone who wants to know.
I was just about to go there. So, place where people can find out information about everything and where to email you.
BrentKirby.com has information on the 10x3, has all my gigs on there, whatever band I'm playing with at that particular moment. And the new Soft Shoe page is on there, which is the Graham Parsons band, which we have this next Thursday, too, at the Happy Dog.
Next Thursday.
Coming up in 3 days.
3 days. This Thursday.
Happy Dog West.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got to specify now.
Yeah, you do. I think it's the other one's just the uke, right?
I think that's what it's evolving to. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Euclid Tavern at the Happy Dog is a long title.
See,
if you say the uke, everyone's going to know it's the uke.
I would have gone with Euclid Tavern HD.
Okay. high def.
Yeah. That's me. The uke is definitely what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing too. Maybe we should take a poll out there. You know, call in if you think it should be the uke. I'm just joking.
We might get some really strange calls from people who've been at shows at the uke.
Right.
Brent, thank you much for stopping.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me. As always, you guys are awesome. Thank you for everything that you do for the musical community here in Cleveland.
Thank you.
Right back at you, buddy.
Yeah, for everything you do. Once again, Brent Kirby and His Luck, CD release for Patience Worth this Saturday at the Music Box Supper Club, 9 p.m. BrentKirby.com has all of the information. We've got one last track, and it's Say That You Want To.
It doesn't get much attention, but it's a good song.
Well, we're giving them attention now.
I shouldn't say that because it's just we haven't had the chance. So here we are. Yeah,
here it is on Neorox. Thank you, Brent.
Sure.
There are no secrets between me. Can't say it isn't true. I'd do anything. What do you need? Give to you my soul. People moving, talking about what we see. Mm-hmm.
by your side with thoughts so hard. Yes, we made it through. Realized who we are. Trying to be better than everything, everything I do. So believe in me, babe. I'd do anything.